Well, this morning, I do want to encourage you to consider our class on Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8. This calling, this understanding the windows of heaven are important. You know, there's a lot of anecdotal books written about, you know, heaven or near-death experiences and things like that. But I think it's important for us to recognize that the Bible really speaks a lot about heaven. And so I pray that you consider coming, because I think it'll be helpful for us. I also want to encourage you to read the Bible with us. We started in Genesis, and it's about 3, sometimes 4 chapters a day. And that's a helpful discipline for us to turn our face to the Lord on a daily basis, to what God has said, the raw word of God. It's valuable. And I want you to notice, if you've been reading with us, I want you to pay attention, just even through the book of Genesis, how the people of God turned their face to him. And the wisdom that comes when you turn your face to the Lord. The difficulty that comes in your life when you don't. You can see that all through the narratives of Genesis. And I want to encourage you to pay attention to these things. And because engaging the raw word of God is very valuable. And I want to encourage you to join us. Let me tell you where we're going to go over the next year. I'm excited about 2025 on Sunday mornings. We're studying the book of Romans in small group, and that's going to be incredibly valuable. I would encourage you to be in a group. Then on Sunday mornings in worship, we're going to, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians 5. So if you have your Bibles, turn there and just let's be ready for 1 Thessalonians 5. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to kind of wrap our head around 1 Thessalonians 5 and consider how to be a faithful church as 2025 unfolds. And I pray that God uses 1 Thessalonians 5 to just prepare us for all that's ahead for us in this year. Then we're going to look at this for 3 weeks, and then we're going to turn our face all year to the books of Chronicles in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles this winter and early spring, we're going to be in 1 Chronicles, which I think is going to be very helpful for us as a body, where we are as a church. Then we're going to have a Easter Sunday. We'll be at the PAC at Owosso High School, and we'll be at the PAC for basically from Easter through the first week of September. And then at that point, we'll be studying the Sermon on the Mount together. We'll be communicating all those things coming up, but we'll be in the Sermon on the Mount, and our small groups will be studying the Sermon on the Mount as well. So we'll spend all day with the Sermon on the Mount. Then the fall, we're going to go into 2 Chronicles. So I'm excited about engaging the Old Testament this year, and it's going to be, I think, fruitful for us. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5, it's an important chapter, and I think it's important for us today, because you see how this church at Thessalonica that started in Acts 17 on one of Paul's missionary journeys, you see how they collided with the city of Thessalonica. And the truth is, I'm thankful that God did not leave us to in our lostness, but he collided with us. He collided with the world. And it's strange, as I think about this series, it may be strange to you that it's called A Beautiful Collision. The truth is, God has collided with the world. And as a church, he's called us to collide with our culture. And here, God has planted us as a church as a regional church. We influence Tulsa and all the suburbs around us. And God's called us to collide with them beautifully. Now, I'm excited about this 3 weeks because, you know, as we articulate the purpose of our church, we articulate it like this, that God has called us to love all people to Christ. And you know, we're not going to argue people to believe what we believe. We're not going to be able to argue them into the kingdom. But as we love people to Christ, as the world watches us love one another, forgive one another, walk together just in our relationship with each other as a church, as they encounter us serving and loving people around us. The world will recognize Jesus. You see this in John 17. You see this as Jesus talked about. They'll know we're Christians by our love. And God's called us to love all people to Christ. This is a calling we have. We're to equip one another on our journey with God. You're to grow in your walk with God. I pray that you end 2025 knowing that I grew in my faith. I grew in my walk with the Lord. And the truth is, that's a lifelong pursuit. We'll never exhaust all that God is on this side of heaven or the next. And you know, the truth is, we're to grow in our walk with the Lord. We're also to grow in our relationship with one another. We're to deepen our relationships, deepen our walk together. And this is what why we say our purpose is to love all people to Christ, to equip them on their journey with God and one another. I think 1 Thessalonians 5 is going to help us. So if you have your Bible, stand with us and let's read verses 1 through 11. And you know, one of the things we do if you're visiting today, we stand in honor of God's word. It's a simple posture that says, hey, look, this is God's word to us, and it's unique, and it's to be understood, to be heard, to be engaged, and we stand in honor of God's word. And I'm going to state the obvious and just simply say, after we read the text, this is the word of the Lord. And would you just respond together saying, praise be to God. I'm so grateful to praise the Lord today for giving us this word. So verse 1, let's read it. Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, okay, this is the end of the first letter to the church at Thessalonica. Now, just for some background purposes, let's understand this. Thessalonica was an important city. It was a port city of Macedonia, and there was a reason Paul, in Acts 17, said, I want to go there. I want to go start a church there, share the gospel there. And he did, and people got saved, and people's lives were changed, and this church formed that was from some Jewish people, some Gentiles, and they were wrestling through, walking with the Lord, and colliding with Thessalonica. They were Thessalonians, and they were proud of their city, but they also had a heart for their city to engage their city, engage their friends and family. And you know what, this church, if you really understand the letter in chapter 4, they were struggling because some of their friends had died, and they were discouraged. And as I prayed through the beginning of this year, I thought, man, this is perfect for us because here we are. Have walked through 2024, and some of those close to us have died. And Thessalonians were struggling. They were kind of discouraged. They were sad, and they were wondering, are they going to be a part of the coming of the Lord with us? And Paul was writing to them about encouraging them about their friends who had died. You know what else? There were some people at Thessalonica. Chapter 4 tells us about them, that they were kind of just sitting around idly. They were just kind of wasting their, they were like, oh, the Lord's going to come back, so I'm just going to wait for him to come. And Paul was writing to them going, whoa, wait a minute. Hey, be encouraged, because the coming of the Lord is going to be good, and God's going to bring us all together in glory. But hey, don't just sit around. You got some work to do. And Paul was encouraging them, challenging them about, hey, don't just sit around and wait for Jesus to return. Get to work. And when I think about how important that is, to be mindful of the coming of Christ, to be mindful of his second coming, to recognize that he's coming, but to also embrace the calling that God has given us, the work that he has called us to do, and to be diligent in our faith, to be diligent in our love, to be faithful with salvation, the time that we're called to live. Now let's look at verse 1 and let's dig into this. And he says, verse 1, now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now let's process that for a second. Let's consider the day of the Lord. Let's consider that phrase. That's an important biblical phrase. You see it all through the scriptures. The day of the Lord. And this is a revelation that you hear in the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. And you know, we understand in the Old Testament the prophets, Joel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Zephaniah, they talk about the day of the Lord is coming. And that's a day of wrath. Now, we need to understand that for a minute. Because when you think about the day of the Lord, you know what that describes? That the day of the Lord, if you're taking notes, describes a beautiful collision. And folks, let's not miss this. It's a collision. The day of the Lord will be a collision with humanity. And the prophets of old warned about this. It's why it's valuable to understand the Old Testament and wrestle through the Old Testament. And we'll do this as a church. We'll wrestle through the Old Testament. You know, some of the Old Testament scholars, they point to the first moment where the wrath of God came to the world was in Genesis 3. We read that this week. Now, this might surprise you because it's not often a text that we look at and consider the day of the Lord or wrath coming. But I think some of these Old Testament scholars are right that the first experience with the wrath of God is evident in Genesis 3. Let's look at it. Genesis 3, verse 7. This is right after Adam and Eve had sinned. They had eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They had rebelled against God's specific command. And they were in trouble. They had sinned. And it was the first moment that sin entered the world. Verse 7 says, the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Look at verse 8. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to man and said to him, where are you? And he said, look at this, verse 10, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. You know, often we've read that and it's like, oh, God's just on a stroll through the garden. Oh, it's a cool, it's a nice day. God's just cruising through the garden. But Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord. Exodus 19 is a moment where God's people heard the sound of the Lord up on Mount Sinai. You know what it was? Lightning, thunder, and the ground was quaking. Okay, let's think about this. The sound of the Lord, Adam heard this, and what did he do? He hid. You know, judgment came to Adam. It wasn't just a stroll in the day. This was the wrath of God coming for Adam and Eve. And let me tell you something, it came. Look at the consequences of Adam and Eve. The tree of life, they were banished from the tree of life. I don't think we recognize the gravity of that consequence. The tree, we read about the tree of the life in Revelation. We're going to see the tree of life one day. And Adam was banished from that. They were expelled from the garden. There's a angelic sword in front of the garden right now. And nobody's going in until the end of days. Adam was told, you're going to have to work the crops from the sweat of your brow. You're going to have weeds now. They were still working in the garden. But, oh, it's going to be different now because of weeds. There's going to be pain in childbirth now. Fascinating. He said to Adam, look, you're going to have conflict between your husband and your marriage. There's going to be role difficulties. Husbands are going to want to dominate their wives. Wives are going to want to dominate their husbands. And oh my goodness, if that's not the story of our day, you're not paying attention. And the consequences were huge. And this is consistent with Day of the Lord passages in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zephaniah, Joel, and right here in 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's not miss the fact that the Day of the Lord is coming. And it's going to be a collision. And we struggle with this. We're fearful of this. And the Bible warns us about this. And the Bible, like what's interesting about 1 Thessalonians 5, the church at Thessalonica, they understood this. The day of the Lord's coming, and it's going to be a day of wrath. And we struggle with this. I struggle with this. I want to soften this, but I can't. And we live in a day where a lot of preachers are challenged, hey, boy, don't offend anybody. Let's make the gospel more palatable. I cannot make sin and lostness more palatable. It's devastating. And we struggle with this, and we feel like, oh my goodness, how can we make this softer? We can't. The day of the Lord is coming to the world, and it's going to be a day of wrath. And the reason we struggle with this is because the day of the Lord will be a collision with the holiness of God. And holiness comes out of our mouth. But let's not miss the fact that when the day of the Lord comes, it's going to be a flat-out collision with God's holiness. And what humanity is going to recognize is, whoa, God is holy, and I am not. And we see this. We're going to see this in 1 Chronicles, and I'm excited about digging into this story. And it's the story of Uzzah. Fascinating Old Testament story. David was moving the Ark of the Covenant, and it was a rebellious act. And as the Ark of the Covenant was being moved, Uzzah is the guy that meant well. The Ark of the Covenant was on these oxen, and it was traveling, and one of the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out and said, oh, I don't want the ark to hit the ground. So he kept the ark from hitting the ground, and God killed him. David was mad. David was like, why did you do that? And all of us have not a grasp of the holiness of God. One day we will see it, and we'll be like, whoa, God is holy. And let's recognize that this entire world, all of humanity that has ever been born, will see the holiness of God. And it's a collision. And we've got to understand it. We've got to do our best to understand it. We've got to be in awe of it, but the day of the Lord will be a collision with the holiness of God. The day of the Lord will also be a collision with the devastation of sin. This is what the day of the Lord will be. You'll recognize that you're a sinner. And sin is more devastating than we think. Now, I have a really dumb illustration about sin, okay? About even, we think, oh, my sin's not that big a deal. Oh, I understand. I want to justify my own sin. But even the whatever you consider as a little sin, it will be completely exposed in front of the holiness of God. You know, years ago, I had a friend, and if you've heard me preach very long, I don't know when, I can't remember when I last used this illustration, but you've heard, I've used it before. But I had some friends, we had some friends come over for dinner, and they came from Ada, and we were friends. They were at our first church, and they had come to our house in Oklahoma City, and I was making brownies. And oh man, have you made brownies? Just think back of the last time you made brownies. I had gotten the egg and the mixture, the oil, and I was stirring it up, man. I was making brownies. Ken's standing next to me, and I'm stirring up the brownies. And can you just go back to that moment, the smell of that? Oh man, who likes to lick the bowl? I mean, I'm looking at that spatula thing. I go, I'm licking this. I can't wait. The brownie smell. They tell you on the box, there's eggs in here. Don't eat it. But we don't follow that. We've all done that and lived, right? And so I'm stirring the brownies, and Ken's, we're talking, and unbeknownst to me, drool starts forming in my lips, and a little piece of drool just dripped right in the brownie bowl. And I stopped, and I was like, I tell you, and I didn't think Ken saw it. And he goes, did you just drool in the brownies? I go, no, okay, maybe I did, but it'll cook out probably. Those are the moistest brownies we've ever had. It was so good. But you know what? To this day, we've laughed about that. You remember the day you drooled in the brownies? It contaminated the whole brownie mix, right? That's what sin does. We will stand before the holiness of God and recognize that the sin that we've committed is a big deal. Let me tell you, the day of the Lord will be a collision with the holiness of God, with the devastation of sin. But you know what's amazing about the day of the Lord? It's also going to be a collision with the work of Christ on the cross. We'll recognize the amazing gift of the cross. That's when 2 Corinthians 5:21 will be like, oh my goodness, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we could be righteous. So we can know righteousness. It's like Acts 2:16 when he says this, Luke wrote this about what Jesus said, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And even on my male servants and female servants, in whose days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's the day we are living, that the gospel is open, that the invitation is extended. And on the day of the Lord, we'll recognize the magnificence of this opportunity that we have. And that's why I pray we are a church that beautifully collides with our world, saying, turn to Jesus. Turn to the Lord. That's why I'd say to us, let's pay attention how people in the Old Testament turned to the Lord. Let's recognize the wisdom of turning to the Lord. Let's recognize the stupidity and the folly of rejecting the Lord. And may we be a church that so faithfully collides with those in our lives that we say, look, turn to Jesus. Everybody around us, we say, turn to the Lord. That day of the Lord, it will be judgment and fire, the remaking of heavens and the earth. But those who have trusted him will be saved. Look at verse 9 in 1 Thessalonians 5. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That salvation is available to you. And it's only in him. It's not in your efforts. It's through Christ's effort, his effort on the cross. And you know, the church at Thessalonica, there were many of them that were discouraged about those who had died. There were some of them that, I'm just going to sit around and be idle. No, neither one of those are a calling for us. Let's be recognizing, let's recognize that God's promises of life and death are true. That his call of salvation is eternal. That look, we've got work to do right here. And so that's why I look at this passage and this ending of 1 Thessalonians. It's important for our church to embrace the mission God's called us to. Because our mission, if you're taking notes, our mission is to beautifully collide with people around us. And this is something I pray we do. You do, I do. It's my prayer. Join me in my goal of 2025, which is this, to be the most faithful witness I've ever been. That's my prayer as I live my life, that I'm a more faithful witness than ever in my life. I pray that's true for you. I pray that's the story of our church, that we end 2025 going, we were more faithful with the gospel than ever before. I was a more faithful husband, a more faithful father, a more faithful grandfather than ever before. I was a more faithful friend, a more faithful employee, a more faithful employer than ever before. This is my prayer. God's called us to beautifully collide with people around us. What's that look like? Well, this passage helps us. If we're going to do this, I think we've got to be ready in every circle. And this is something I pray for us. I challenge us today to be ready in every circle. Now, we've understood our circles. Last year, I talked about this, that we have circles of influence, circles in our lives. You have a circle where you live. It starts in your home. People around you, you've got to be alert to the coming of the day of the Lord in your circle. Look, if I'm aware of the coming of the Lord, I'm not going to be idle. If I'm alert to the coming of the Lord, I'm going to be faithful with those I live around. I'm going to be faithful with those where I work. Because I go to work every day. You do too. You go to work every week. And as you go to work, may be alert to the coming of the Lord. And hey, Jesus is going to return someday. And this is why, to inspire and to encourage people, hey, turn to Jesus. I pray we speak up more boldly than ever, that we're more faithful than ever with the gospel, that where we work, where we play, we're all going to play places this year. We have hobbies. We have things we like to do. We have things that may help us relax. Let's not check out on being a witness, being alert to the coming of the Lord in the places we play, because where we play, we rub shoulders with people that need Jesus. And we're alert to the coming of the Lord. We're ready where we shop. I shop in places. I see the same people that I at counters, at things I buy, and coffee shops I go to. Let's be alert to the coming of the Lord where we shop. Look, we got to be ready in every circle. Look at verse 1. Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. They will not escape. Let's pay attention to the metaphors here. This is why we should be alert, because the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night, it says. Now, let's connect with this. A thief is not going to rob your house and send you a text message and say, hey, I'll be there at 1:30 in the morning. He's not going to do that. He's going to surprise you. The day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. You're going to be taken by surprise. The world's going to be taken by surprise. Notice verse 3, that there's peace and security, people think. You know what Paul's trying to help us see? Is that the only true security that you have when the day of the Lord comes is the gospel. That's the only thing you've got. There are so many people that are going to be trusting in our military. I'm grateful for our military, but let me tell you, that's not the ultimate place for peace and security. So many people are trusting in their finances. That's going to fall short if that's where your peace and security are. Look, the only peace and security you'll have is in Jesus, is in Christ. That's why we turn to the Lord. That's why we seek his face. The day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. Notice the second illustration. It's going to be, it says, the sudden destruction will come upon you as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. This is emphasizing the suddenness of Christ's coming. He's going to come suddenly, unexpected and suddenly. You put these two together, and you can say it like this. The day of the Lord will come sudden and unexpected like a burglar. It will come sudden and unavoidable like labor at the end of a pregnancy. In the first case, there's no warning. In the second case, there'll be no escape. And folks, the Bible speaks to the day of the Lord. And the church at Thessalonica, they understood this. And that's why he says, look, we don't have to write to you about these things. You know that the day of the Lord is coming. And it is wise for us, it is right for us to recognize that a day of wrath is coming. And I can't soften it, and neither can you. We can't avoid it. We don't know when it's going to happen. But what I know is the Bible tells us that we are to be alert to this. The church at Thessalonica is inspiring to us. It's right for us to follow their example and be aware of these things. As we stay alert, you know what that means? We're not going to sit idly, because we have kingdom work to do. And I want you to recognize today, as you are alert to the coming kingdom, that you have kingdom work to do this year. Every one of us have kingdom work to do. Look at verse 4. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Look at the imagery here. Let's just look at this. The imagery here is darkness and light. We don't live in that. We live in the light of the day, day and night, asleep and awake, drunk and sober. You know what that speaks to? It speaks to alertness. We're alert. We're aware. We're aware of the age that we live in, the day we live in. We live in the day of the gospel, the day that the gospel can be shared, that lives can be changed. And I pray that that's our story, that as we walk through 2025, that we see those around us in all of our circles, their lives changed. You know, my wife, she's praying for a family, two family members, praying for their salvation. And this morning even, I teased her a little bit, because she's not missed praying for these two family members and their salvation. And this morning she almost forgot. In our prayer time, she goes, amen, oh yeah, Lord. And she prayed for their salvation. I love that about her. She's so diligent to pray for their salvation. And I'll tell you, we have kingdom work to do. That this is the day of the Lord, and we should live with the knowledge that Jesus is coming and pray like it, serve like it, live like it. Because the day of the Lord is coming. Look at verse 8, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith. Look, you're to grow in your faith. You're to rest in the fact that God's promises are true. This is important to know that the Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us that they were sad about their lost friends and church members that had died. They had fallen asleep. And what we'll discover, and this is why our study on heaven is so valuable, what we'll discover is that's a picture of death in this world. But what we will realize when we get to heaven is that they are more alive than we are. Heaven is true, and this is why your faith means something. We're to grow in our faith and our love for one another. That's where it starts. We love brothers and sisters. We love each other. To love each other well, and then to live in a world where we're showing the love of Christ to people, sacrificially serving, loving, giving, to build the kingdom, to establish the work of God in this place. Asking God to establish the work of our hands, like Psalm 90 prays, Lord, establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And I look at this, we grow in love, in the helmet of the hope of salvation. He's putting on that spiritual armor there of the breastplate of faith that extinguishes the flaming arrows of the evil one. That helmet of salvation that calms our mind, helps us rest in the fact that even when we go through suffering and loss and death, look, we have a helmet of salvation that God's promises guards our mind, that God's word helps us think right. God's word helps us know what to believe, because there are times I don't think right, and I'm thankful for the raw word of God because it helps me think right. And this is why we've got to be a church that stands on the word of God and pays attention. And it's my prayer that we answer the call to faithfulness in 2025, more faithful than we've ever been. I pray that's our story. I pray that's your story. I pray it's my story. I pray it's the story of our church, that we're more faithful than ever. But also you see this church at Thessalonica, as they lived in light of the kingdom, in light of the day of the Lord, there's a challenge for them to stick together as a church family. And this is our prayer, that we stick together as a family. Look at verse 9. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Notice this. So whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Notice this. There'll be some among us this year that God will take us home. Whether we are awake in this world or we are asleep in this world, we will all live with him. This is a promise of eternal life. This is why we walk together, encourage one another. And he says right here, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. The church is sticking together. They're building each other up. They're strengthening each other. Let me tell you something. In the first service, there were two really, really tough situations. Three, actually. One sitting there, one sitting here, one sitting there. I'm talking, if God doesn't come through, there's no hope. And there was prayer and a seeking of the Lord. But you know what happens is together we're encouraging one another. We're building each other up. We're walking together. And in the Thessalonican church, they were in the middle of that battle. And Paul's like, man, that's what you're doing. Keep it up. So as we engage in 2025, we know that the day of the Lord is coming, and it's a day of wrath. But because of Christ's work on the cross, it's so magnificent. And we know this. We're faithful to speak up. We're faithful to share. We're faithful to plead, to be an ambassador for Christ, that it is as though, 2 Corinthians 5:20, it's as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So let's remember, the day of the Lord is coming, and let's turn to the Lord. Like we're seeing in the Old Testament in Genesis. Pay attention to these men and these women that in the Genesis, as you read it this week, as they turn to the Lord, the wisdom of this. Pay attention to those that rejected the Lord and turned away from him and the folly and the stupidity of that. Let's turn to the Lord. Let's daily turn to the Lord. Let's daily engage the Bible. Read with us. Read the Bible with us together. Because in doing this, we'll build each other up. We'll make connections with our lives. The Holy Spirit will use it. Let's learn from the church at Thessalonica right here in verse 8. Let's look at it again. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Having put on the breastplate of faith, trust the Lord. No matter what's going on in your life right now, you can trust him. And I want you to think about how God has come through for you. How God has answered prayers in your life. God is faithful. And you give it enough time and every promise God has made will prove true. You count on it. Trust the Lord. Put on that breastplate of faith and love. You know, Steve and Rick came up to me right before the service. And, you know, those guys know me. And they still love me. I'm thankful. As a church family, we know one another, and we still love each other. Let's do that. Aren't you grateful for the people in your life that really know you and still love you? Man, those are powerful servants of the Lord if you can do that. Let's daily turn to the Lord. Let's love each other. Let's put on that salvation as a helmet. Let's be more faithful witnesses than ever. 2025, it's my prayer. It's a goal that God finds us more faithful than ever. Now we're going to have an invitation, and I've asked some of our staff to come today. And so maybe you need to pray. Maybe you need to come to the Lord today. Maybe you're sitting here going, look, I've not come to Jesus. And the day of the Lord scares me. It ought to scare you. Because the day of the Lord is not, I can't soften it. But I'll tell you, when the day of the Lord comes and you have Christ in your life, you're not destined for wrath. You're destined for heaven. So come to Jesus. Come. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Today's the day for you. Come. Maybe you're here and you're struggling with your faith. Come. Let someone pray for you. Keith and Susan, come on up. Maybe you need them to pray for you. We have some of our prayer team that will be around the room. Maybe you need them to pray for you. Look, come to Jesus. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit speaks in this place. I love you. The day of the Lord, when you come, Lord, we understand it from all of Scripture that it's going to be a day of wrath. But in that, there is hope. Because we live in the day of the gospel, where anyone who calls on your name will be saved. And I pray that maybe even someone watching online or even in the room, would call on you. Thank you, Lord, that Kelly is online and that we're in this room today. Lord, may we be more faithful than ever. In Jesus' name, amen.